We worship you. We come under the covering of our fathers. As we go into your word this morning, we recognize our inabilities and our frailties to unravel, Lord, this deep treasure of your word. So Father, I look to you for fresh mercy from you, Lord, through my father's fresh unction, Lord, from your throne upon my heart and upon my lips. So as I teach and preach this word, I will do so, Lord, as Lord, a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. Help me, Lord, to speak as an oracle of God. Let your word flow out of me like a stream of living water. Let it bring life. Let it bring refreshing. Let it bring light and enablement. Let it cause an eternal work to be done in our hearts, so including my own heart, so that our wills will be more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated by the revelation light that comes from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, in the name of Jesus. Lord, as your word goes forth, wherever it goes throughout the earth, under the covering of my fathers, let yokes be broken, let blind eyes be opened, let deaf ears be unstopped, let the lame receive strength in their feet and their ankle bones, helping us to be doers of the things that we hear, that we might be blessed in all of our deed, in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask, Lord, for fresh mercy. Help me to be concise and precise to redeem the time, not saying unnecessary things, so that out of the treasure of this word, things new and old, you will bring forth through my lips, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I also duck under the cover of my fathers afresh. Help me to teach and preach this word as they would have if they were here personally. So that, Lord God, Lord, their soul will be refreshed, Lord, by this word. And it will also bring refreshing to my brethren in the name of Jesus. We pray thy kingdom come. Let your will be done in this time of ministration. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Book of Colossians. The last time we were here, we were in Colossians chapter 3 from verses 16 to 21. Colossians 3, 16 to 21. And, you know, the book of Colossians chapter 3 is really talking about the fact that, you know, was talking about that we're risen in Christ, so that, you know, we should put on the new man, you know, that is renewed in knowledge. You know, that's talking about revelation knowledge, you know, and that we put on, you know, Christ, you know, the bowels of mercies, humbleness of mind, kindness, meekness, long-suffering. Talking about putting on the fruit, so you can put on Jesus. That's the emphasis of Colossians chapter 3. You can put on Jesus like I put on my suit. You can put Jesus on. And every day, amen. Thank you, sir. And men will see Jesus in you. Amen. And the old you will not be evidence. It is Jesus that men will see. And that's the mind behind which he's been talking about putting on the fruit of the Spirit, you know, and letting it show in every area of our life. Then it brings us to verse 16, where he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and in all wisdom. And we saw in the last lesson that it's talking about letting the anointed word from spiritual fathers, let it dwell in you richly. That is the whole counsel of God. There is a word in the church that is not the whole counsel of God. There is a word that is just partial. If they preach on particular area, they have a particular emphasis. But there is the whole counsel of God. And the Bible is, God is instructing us that we should let this word dwell in us in quantity and in quality. So there's a certain quantity of the word of God you must have. You must not have below it. There's a certain quality of the word of God that you must have. And you can only get it from people that have it. Very important. So you can't give what you don't have, and you can't get what somebody has not given you. And when they give it, there's no boasting about it because they gave it to you. Amen. So you can see here, so he's talking about that you should dwell richly. Richly is quantity. In all wisdom is quality. So what's he talking about? He's talking about the fact that there is that this type of word, if we allow it to dwell in us, it does several things. It will establish us in the truth. It will build us up in the love of God. It will correct us. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12-13, we're not turning there, just stay in Colossians, where he says that the word of God is living and active. sharper than any two-edged sword. What you can hide from man, you can't hide from the word of God. It will fish you out. It will fish me out. It will search the reins and the intents of the heart. Bible says that there is no hiding from him with whom we have to do. You know, so you can't hide. That's why in some kinds of, when they preach that kind of word, people get uncomfortable. Because now it begins to search the heart. What's your motive? What you thought everybody saw. And Ananias and Sapphira, what they did, everybody was clapping for them. But God said, what's the motive? So that's the kind of word we're talking about. The word that searches. And then that word also equips. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Let's read. You can say, all scripture is given. I didn't hear you say, all scripture. I can't hear you, everybody. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. So it establishes you in the truth. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So it means that you can't just do righteousness by yourself. The word has to instruct you. This is what you do now. You do this one later. This is first, this is second, this is third. There is order in the word of God. Next verse. That the man of God, how many men of God are there? Both male and female, put up your hand. You're a man in the spirit, amen. That the man of God may be what? Perfect. That is having the sin nature totally removed from your soul and body. Okay? Thoroughly furnished or equipped unto all good works. You want to do glorious works like Jesus? You need the word dwelling in you richly and in all wisdom. This is why we need the word. So the word is crucial. I know, but how do we receive it? We believe it. When we hear it preached, we believe it, we confess it, no, we meditate upon it, think on it, because it's in the thinking that it begins to change who you are. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So when you think and meditate upon the word, it begins to change you. And so the messages we hear, we should let them change us. You know, let it affect and influence your thinking. You know, so that you begin to align your thoughts. Because as a man thinketh, that's how he is. And Bible says that, in Matthew chapter 6, it's talking about the fact that, all these things the Gentiles seek. You know, and yet we're Christians, we're not Gentiles, but many times we seek what the Gentiles seek because we think like the Gentiles. The way you think determines what you seek. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. I think it's an important point to hit. Thank you. Thank you. Give it to me, verse 27. Verse 27. Which of you, by what? Taking thought. Verse 28. And why take ye thought? Verse 31. Therefore take no thought. He's talking about thought. Because where your thoughts are, that's where you are. That's where you live. You may visit some other place, but that's where you really live. So really, if you want to change your address spiritually, change your thinking. Amen. All right, that's the will of God for us. Amen. All right, and so that's how we allow this word to, as we believe it, confess it, meditate it, pray in the spirit, both in tongues and with travail, and then practice the word of God. Our hearts are then filled with that word in all wisdom. And then it begins to affect every part of it. You know, because the word dwells in the heart, you see. You know, and Bible says that, you know, that out of the heart are the issues of life. So really, when the word dwells in your heart, it begins to influence every area. Begins to affect your appetites. Affects your desires, the things you like. Your music will change. When enough of the word of God is in your heart, your music will change. Bible talks about psalms. Go back to verse 17. Talking about psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Where did it come from? It's from the word. When the word changes you, your the things you desire, your sensitivity to God, your appreciation of God, your gratitude to God, it begins to increase because the word of God is resident in your heart by the grace of God. Amen. All right, and that's the will of God. So we saw in the last lesson that, you know, these things begin to change, and then it flows out into your work, the way you do your school work if you're a student, and the way you do your work, you know, if you're an adult. You know, it begins to, there's a seal on your work, a seal of excellence, there's a seal of divine wisdom upon your work. You become respected because people know that the Spirit of the Holy God is in you. Amen. This is the Word. It's the Word dwelling richly in all wisdom. It begins to flow out and percolate and permeate everything that we think and do. Amen. And finally, it affects our relationships. Amen. And that's very important. We looked at that verse 18 to 21 last week in detail. So we'll just touch on it briefly. Wives are to submit and adapt to their husbands. Okay. Husbands must love their wives deeply without bitterness. Children must be obedient in all things. Amen. To their parents. All right. And parents, especially fathers, but parents, both parents, must allow their children room to grow and flourish. Don't be too hard on them. Don't oppress your children. Give them room to grow. Correct them because they need, guide them because they need those things. But at the same time, give them room to flourish. Give them room to grow. Okay? And so we saw that last week. So we're going to begin in verse 22 this morning. Let's read it. 22, 23, 24. Let's read it together. It says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as what? Men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Next verse. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily from the heart, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Lord have mercy. Next verse. Knowing, so it's something you must know. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Next verse. That's deep. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of... you can ask David. There is no respect of persons. Next verse. Next chapter 4, verse 1. Say, masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master. Where? In heaven. Next verse. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. All right, let's see how far the Holy Spirit helps us. Amen. Verse 22. Give me verse 22 in the Message Bible. Let's read it together. Servants. We are all servants at one level or the other. Servants, do what you are told by your earthly masters. So obey the instruction. Obey the instruction. And don't just do the minimum that will get you by. Do your best. It's very important. Many Christians break this. We think like the Gentiles. Again, because the world doesn't dwell richly. So we do the minimum. And then we want the maximum pay for the minimum effort. And when they don't give up, I've been on this job for how many years? They haven't promoted me. Are you diligent? Are you doing just the minimum? That's what he was talking about. He says the word of Christ enables us to obey our employers and our superiors and give them our best. Don't reserve your best for when you have your own. It will never come. That dream will keep flying away until you give your best to somebody else. When you build somebody else's dream, then God will give you your dream. That's the word of God. Amen. We must always recognize in all our relationships that we are dealing with God. Omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. What men cannot see, he sees. What men did not, what you think is a secret thing, is very clear on a video. Everybody's watching it. Like it's something that's being beamed. Everybody's watching it. So you know, it's everywhere you are. Where you thought there was nobody there, God was there. And if you're facing one situation and you think that, I don't have the power, God is there. He's there. So our focus, take your focus off man and start serving the Lord Christ. That's what he's saying. You know, that we should take our focus off man. So, how do we do that? Because, you know, this is the thing, brethren. The Bible says so, but, you know, I'm come to see it too. If you look at men, you know, you will stumble and fall so many times. You know, not because of the, because they do anything wrong. Sometimes it's you. Sometimes it's me. Do you understand what I mean? But they just obey what the Bible says. Look at God. Look at God. God is the standard. You know, and if you serve as unto Lord Christ and give your best, then you put God in a position where he can fulfill his word concerning you. But if you don't do that, then you do not, because God is the one that said we should do this. And we shouldn't do the minimum. So if you are faithful in little, you become ruler over much. You must be faithful in that which is another man's. Otherwise, God won't give you your own. Faithful means you do it like it was your very own. Go all out of your way. Think about the work. Honor your boss in your heart. Pray for your boss. Pray for the business. Do you pray for your business? Even if it's government business. Do you pray for the ministry? Let's say Ministry of Interior. Do you pray for the work of your department in the Ministry of Interior? You are supposed to be praying. You are supposed to pray that thy kingdom come, thy will be done in our department. Yes. You are the source, so that God can have an influence in that department. You won't pray and then you'll be complaining. You are behaving like them. We must not behave like them in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we do these things, as we honor, as we pray, as we obey, and remain loyal. We must be loyal, brethren. Be loyal to your workplace, irrespective of what happens. You have to be loyal. It's unto the Lord. It's a sacrifice. God goes there, looks at it. Yes, this one is my own. It's a sweet smell. It's very important. The Bible says that when you suffer for wrongdoing, take it patiently. It means life is not one super roller coaster ride. There are bumps sometimes. Many times. There are bumps. And you take it sweetly. Like Papa Ralph taught us, stay sweet. Stay sweet. Don't get bitter. Amen. Why? Because God is watching you. He's watching you, and he will watch how you are treating them in your heart. Because, you know, at least I know on this side of Africa, we are experts. Now, you know, nobody can catch you saying anything. Me, say what? It never happened. God knows you won't say it. But what are you saying in your heart? Your heart is connected to megaphone in the spirit realm. Megaphone. It's not microphone, no. Megaphone. So, as you are thinking the thought, bam. Bam, your thoughts are resonating. And you think that they can't pick it. They can't pick it. The discerning can pick it. And God can pick it too. Look at verse 24. Amplified Bible. Verse 24. Knowing with what? All certainty. But that means this thing is sure. That it is from the Lord and not from men that you will receive the inheritance, which is your real reward. So there are two rewards here. How many rewards? Two. There is the secular, the promotion, and there is your inheritance, the spiritual. Why should God tie your inheritance to ordinary workplace? Why should God take your whole inheritance? Why don't they tie it to how you are behaving in church? You would have got it straight. That one would have been direct. Just sit quietly in church. Nobody's provoking you. At least because all the brethren are sitting down quietly now. There's no time to provoke you. It's true. Because this is the real place where character is tested. Want to test? You are the salt? Let us see it. Yes, let us see the taste that you bring. It says, the one whom you are actually serving is the Lord Christ. Brethren, you know what this means? Take your eyes off men and put your eyes on God. Amen. Stop serving for salary. Stop serving for salary. I'm talking about the financials of investment and all that. That's separate. I'm talking about your motive and your heart. You know, don't let the salary be the motive and the heart. Let the inheritance be the motive of your heart. Because that one swallows up the salary. Many times over. That one is the real reward. That's what he's saying now. That's your real reward. Don't shortchange yourself of your reward by seeking what man is giving you that is really a pittance compared to your inheritance. Amen. How do we do that? No, because God is watching. Do you qualify to receive the inheritance? Is the way you behave at the office? Do you shortchange? Do you leave 1 hour before? Leave 1 hour before the end. Where is that? Our pastor uncle. I want a salary, daddy. I want a minister. On office time. Where is he? He's counseling somebody. On office time. When are those fires going to be ready? He said he would do it, sir. And he hasn't done it. Giving God a bad name. You should do your work excellently. There should be no flies. That's what children say, no flies. No, but there should be no complaint. Bible says that in Daniel's work, they could find no reproach against him. They had to take it to the law of his God. Because they knew that that was the only thing that you could say that he was doing that was wrong. Everything was excellent. You have the same spirit in you. We have the same spirit. Amen. And that's the will of God for us. Amen. So, what does God want us to do? He wants us to practice divine love with patience. Look at Ephesians 3:17. The pastor taught us, being rooted and grounded in love. So that, you know, Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. That Christ dwelling in your heart by faith is the Word. It's that Word, that anointed Word. If you put it there and you make sure it's there, and you are praying on it, you know, you are studying, you are putting it in it, it will root and ground you in love. Next verse. And then it will enable you to comprehend, give you wisdom and revelation at work. What is correct? What you should do? This one is the height. This one is the breadth. This one is the length. So you can make the right decisions. Say the right words. Do the right things at the right time. Next verse. And then to know by experience the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. That's the road to the inheritance. That's the road to the inheritance. You must walk this road at your workplace in Jesus' name. Amen. That's the will of God for us. And so you practice divine love with patience. Patience just means consistency. Amen. And that's what Joseph did. You know, if you look at what Joseph did, look at Genesis 39 verse 4 to 7 quickly. Genesis 39. And Joseph found what? Grace. Grace in the sight of God. And he served him. Okay, he found grace in the sight of Potiphar. And he served him. And he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put in his hand. Next verse. And it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had. That means that he was promoted to. That he... The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord. Whose blessing is it? Of the Lord. Was upon who? Potiphar. Because of who? Joseph. So that means that God's blessing can come upon your ministry because of you. It can come upon your God's blessing or your God's business because of you. That's the whole idea. Thank you, sir. That's the whole idea. So God has you there, then God owns the place. Even though it's not yours, but it's yours. See now, you can see the increase is coming from Joseph. But Joseph is not the owner. Do you have to be the owner? It's very important, brethren. Next verse. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. That's the degree of trust. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. Is what Joseph gave him to you that he will eat. Today is laughing. Today is salad. Trust. That is a Christian. Next verse. And it came to pass that after. Verse 6. End of verse 6. And Joseph was a goodly person. This godliness, so it's not just goodly or handsome. Beauty is vain. We're talking about character. He was walking in love. He was influencing and affecting. Next verse. Next verse. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Jacob, and she said, lie with me. We know the story. But this is a test. But for normal people, brethren, it's an opportunity. Shebi, everything is my own. Shebi, it's me that's doing all the work. It doesn't even know anything that's going on. It's me that's doing everything. So, I mean, if she likes me, it must be because she appreciates what I'm doing. I'm telling you, if you are drunk on your own wine, it's very easy to just make you fall. That's why we need to humble ourselves and be telling yourself the truth. You are not so special, you know. Anything that God is doing through you is God that is doing it. He has a choice to do it and a choice not to do it. There's nothing you can pay him that can make him or force him to do it. If you pray, he has a choice to decide. He wants to answer, he doesn't want to answer. Very important. You cannot hold God. It's his love and his kindness. So you must understand that this is the root of everything. And if you go jump to verse 11, you can see verse 9. You can see the point that he made. You know, and he was talking to her. He said, there is none greater in this house than I. This is his thinking, as a man thinketh in his heart. Neither has he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against Potiphar? The focus has to be God. That's when you make the right decisions. If the focus is yourself or one man or one person, you know, you will pass some tests, you will fail some. But if it's God, you will pass all the time. And guess what? This loyalty, he refused. She lied on him. And she sent him. The Potiphar came and heard it. And this is very bad. Bible says it was very rough. And took sent into prison. And the next verse says, and God, the Lord was with Joseph and blessed him. You can't keep a good man down. The question is, are you good? Are you godly? Do you remain godly? Even when negative trials come, when you're treated unfairly, some of us, the first thing that goes is our attitude. Our attitude just fly out of the window with a flourish. We even celebrate the loss of our temper as if it was something not shameful. It's very important. You know, no. Bible says he took it patiently and patiently, but one day was payday. And then God paid him back. So it's very important that we understand that this is the pattern and this is the will of God. Also, we're living in a season of grace and glory. That word grace struck me in Genesis 39 verse 4. Look at Psalm 84 verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Mommy gave us this prophetic word. And you know what? In this season that we're living in, God is your sun and your shield. Your light and your protection is not coming from anything you're doing per se. Now, we have to obey physical laws, okay? But what is God say? That God is the one that is our light. So anything that you're doing, you must ask God for light. Don't just use natural light. Like normal people, you need to acknowledge God in all of your ways, so he will give you light for that situation. That's the meaning of sun and shield and your protection. Amen. Now he will give grace and glory. Bible says, you know, he found grace in his sight. You know, we have found grace in the sight of God. He's released upon us the Spirit without measure. It's already been released. It's on the earth. Now the question is the manifestation of it. Now, how are we going to manifest that thing? You know, between grace and glory is something. Grace and glory don't just go together. Grace is the precursor. God gives you the advance of grace. Amen? God gives you grace. And what you do with it or not do with it now determines whether the glory follows. Very important that we understand. So how do we get grace? Bible says in Titus chapter 2 verse 11, quickly. Titus 2:11.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Next verse. Teaching us that what? Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Next verse. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So how does grace come? Teaching. That anointed word is bringing grace with it. So if you allow that word, if you take it seriously, if you obey it, if you meditate it, if you confess it, if you read it, if you study it, that same word will position you to be able to walk in divine love and inherit the glory. It's very important. So grace and glory. And so really, I don't know what it is you may be going through right now, but remember Joseph's example. At work, you know, tests may be coming your way, persecution may be coming your way. Maybe the business isn't doing so well. You know what you need to do? Get into the Word. Get into the Word. Get deeper into the Word. Amen. And allow the love of God to respond in the love of God. Amen. So that as you go through that situation, He's working glory on your behalf. Amen. You know, the Bible says, count it all joy. That you're trying to have a faith, work at patience. Let patience. So you keep walking in love. Keep doing what you know to do. Keep walking in divine love. And as you do it, as you respond, not in the flesh, but in the love of God, you find out that you bring yourself closer and closer to the manifestation of the glory of God. Amen. So we keep our eyes on God, on the love of God, and everything counts for glory. You may be going through a tough time. Bible, remember what the Bible says. Be patient in tribulation, rejoice in hope of the glory, continuing instant in prayer, and stay in the Word, and you will overcome. Doesn't matter what men do. Amen. Next verse, verse 25. Says, he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Amen. Alright, what's it saying here? No, now, it says, if you do wrong, you can expect that your master will punish. Naturally. There's no respect of persons. God is not a respecter of persons. He's not going to excuse you because you've done all this. No, there should be a punishment. And if God will punish you, the same thing, your boss will punish you as well. Alright? So don't do wrong. I said don't do wrong. Amen. And now you guys are planning to do wrong. Don't plan to do wrong. Don't do wrong. Amen. Alright, so but God is your son and your shield. So acknowledge Him always and He will give you light, so you won't do wrong. Amen. Alright. If you live on God's level, you are far above man's level. So they can't find anything in you. So learn to live at that level. Amen. By God's grace. Amen. So workplace is a place of training for sonship. It's a place of training for sonship. Yes, it's a place of training. You have to take, and so you take correction with a good attitude. Pastor taught us about that, you know, about love, rebuke, and chastening. You know, it's very vital. Because as you do so, you are translated from a servant to a son. In your, spiritually speaking now. Because sin no longer begins to dominate you. So when it begins to dominate you, you know, then you are a servant. Because the Bible says the servant, you know, is dominated by sin in the book of John, you know. That correction, when it comes, that rebuke, if you take it patiently, like it says in Hebrews chapter 12 in verse 7, if you take it patiently, then God deals with you as with a son, because then you begin to grow and begin to forget the childish things. I know it's important to say here that service is honorable. It's not bad to serve. Some people feel that, no, when I come out, I'm going to have my own business. I'm not working for anybody. Really? Really? The truth is, service is honorable. Amen? And no, but God is the original servant. Owns everything and is serving all of us. So don't tell me about service. Change your mentality about service. That's what God told me here. Our mentality must change. Service is honorable. You go somewhere and you see some people and your classmates are at their age. They're already owning their business. They have their startups. Praise God. If you are working for somebody, praise God. And lift up your head. Amen. Lift up your head. Service is honorable. Stay there, because remember, what is at stake is not how many, whether you are CEO or not. It's the reward of the inheritance. That's the real McCoy. And don't lose sight of it. And you know, as I was meditating, God just brought this to my heart. I recall the very prestigious example of Dr. Akinwumi Adesina. Pastor Dio, somebody sent something to Pastor Dio. You know, he won the World Food Prize. Fantastic. He won the World Food Prize 2017, in Iowa, and they were talking about his track record. The man is a servant. He's a technocrat. He spent over 2 decades serving others. Rockefeller Foundation, the Accra, the annual Green Revolution for Africa, he even served in Nigeria here as Honorary Minister of Agric, didn't he? And we know how he served. That's the way he's been serving. His life is a life of impact. Sacrifice. I had to go and read the thing. Sacrifice and impact. Brethren, true service is sacrifice and impact. It's not about advancing yourself. Your advancement will come from God. And no man can hold it down. Your focus is to make an impact in the lives of men. That's what that man did. He's a very dear friend of Pastor Mommy's, himself and his wife. And he said something that really struck me. And I quote, "Say, I do nothing for recognition, but I feel delighted that my work over the years has been recognized." What's he saying? He said, "I'm not doing it so that people can clap for me. I'm not doing it so that they can increase my pay. That's not what I'm doing it to." He's telling you that he's doing it for the reward of the inheritance. So when people are jostling for ministerial posts, he just left the thing, JJ. And as he left, God brought another one. Chairman of African Development Bank. President, I beg your pardon, of the African Development Bank. And brought that one and gave him. And while he's still there now, they are honoring him again. And that's not the end of the story. That's the beginning. Now that is somebody you and I can look up to. And say that, Lord, when I serve, I want to serve with excellence. Read about him. You can read his track record. He exudes excellence. And by the mercy of God, the wisdom of God. So when you're looking at people, don't tell me, service is honorable. It's here that people serve, and they use service to oppress others. Yes, my pastor was teaching us in Luke chapter 12, when he was saying that this servant has said, "My Lord delayeth is coming." So you beat the men servants. That's oppression. Eat and drink, self-indulgence. So when people say that they are serving, civil servants, they are serving here. They wonder, what's the need for me? What can I get? How can I steal? How can I change this? How can I manipulate it? You will never get anything that is close to the inheritance. You will be a servant forever. Servant to sin and servant to men. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. But if you serve like Joseph served, you will serve from your heart as unto the Lord. You know what will happen? Your spiritual reward will outstrip your physical. And one day, they will look at your account and say, what has been done for this woman? They will give you good measure, pressed down, shaken together. And people that thought they had gone ahead of you, just find out that you've gone ahead of them. Elijah outrun Ahab? He outrun Ahab. The plowman will overtake the reaper. Very important that you understand, and I believe that's the will of God for us. So, Colossians chapter 4, verse 1. We now look at employers. So, we begin to round up. Say, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing you also have a master in heaven. So God enjoins all employers of labor. Do not fleece your workers. You give them less than they deserve. To oppress them, you have to treat them fairly and with consideration. Consideration. No, give them enough. One translation says, give them enough. Sometimes you give them even slightly more. I know something that mommy does. Mommy gives more. More. Just to be on the safe side. Because her blessing is coming from God. It's very important. You know, very important. So you have to make sure that you treat people well. And the only way you can really do this again, go back to the Word. It's the Word in us. Because the natural sin nature is looking for what is in it for me. How can I defraud the devil so that I can increase and they can decrease? And then you never make an impact. Because you only make an impact when you're looking out for others. When you are going out of your way for others. When you stretch yourself for others. Then that's when you're making an impact. God will help us to make an impact in Jesus' name. So look for impact in the lives of your staff. Employers. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Remember, you too, you're working for the reward of your inheritance. The business is not going with you to heaven. Only God can build a legacy. If the business will not go with you to heaven. If you want it to be established, you better treat them fairly and justly. And then God will build you a house. The same way He built David a house. It's the same God. It's very important. These are spiritual principles that God by His grace is bringing out so that we can operate them so we can get the reward. And if you look in history, you see some businesses that have lasted for centuries, like Heinz Baked Beans. They are Christian businesses. They observe Christian. That one is has outlived the owner long after. God will help us in Jesus' name. Your business will outlive you in Jesus' name. That's important, okay? And verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same way. Thanksgiving. Look at the Amplified Bible. Let's look at the Amplified Bible for this. Thank you. Give it to us in Amplified. Say, be earnest and unwearied and steadfast in your prayer life, being both alert and intent in your praying with thanksgiving. It's a very comprehensive instruction. Don't be tired. That's what it's telling you. Be consistent. And let your prayer be hot. So you must pray earnestly, consistently every day. Watch and pray fervently. That's what he's talking about here. And he's saying we should do it with an attitude of gratitude that overflows into thanksgiving. Okay? And this is very important because gratitude is key. You know, to really, to have excellent success. I had mommy describe it this way. Success that has no dent. Success that has no but. This man is very rich. He's successful. But his children. But his first son. But he did this. But there will be no but in your life in Jesus' name. But excellent success doesn't drop on you like ripe cherries. You set yourself to be able to receive it. God wants to give it. Amen. Look at Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Joshua 1 verse 8. Let's read together. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success or excellent success. No buts. That's how it comes. Okay? And you know, as you put the word of God in, because again, you see, this is the word of God is talking about here. Because see why the word of God is so important. It's not something you just do occasionally. You know, it's something that you invest time and effort in. You have to invest time and effort in the word of God. You reading is separate from study. and study separate from meditation. They are not the same. But if you give time to it and you do it, it will reward you. Good measure, press down, shake it together, run it over. It will reward you. So don't let's stay on the surface, brethren. That's what God is saying. Get deep. Get deeper, deeper and deeper into the world. And you know, as you do that, gratitude flows out of you. Because you begin to see the way God sees. You begin to appreciate who God is and all that God does for us, you know. Because really, God upholds us and all the things that we do. I know you pray, relax. But no, sometimes you and I know, sometimes even you don't pray well. In fact, sometimes the day you don't pray, that's the day that is better. sometimes, when I was a young Christian, very young Christian, I used to see that. So the day you don't pray, it's as if, should we now stop praying? No way. Shall we continue seeing that grace may abound? God forbid. Pray. But don't put your confidence in your prayer. Put your confidence in God. It is the God that answers the prayer. It's not the prayer that moves the God. Very important. Very important. Let God take His place in our hearts. God is everything to us. He gives us everything we have. The one He asks us to do, He's helping us to do it. Then He's looking out for more things for us. There's nothing you can, it's not what you are doing at all, my brother. Not what you are doing at all, my sister. It is God just choosing to do what He wants to do in us and through us. And we should be grateful. Because He has a choice of 8 billion people or 7 something billion people, and He chose you. He chose me. God, I'm grateful. That's gratitude. And that's why, you know, every time you look at our spiritual parents, thank you, Jesus. And if you do anything for them, oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you the next day. Thank you for what you did. Thank you. Appreciation should flow out of you. That's the will of God. Amen. It indicates that the heart recognizes and appreciates a caring God. And then turns round to care for God. Because God is doing all those things. There's really nothing. He derives joy from making us happy. You know, so really, the only reasonable sacrifice, like the Bible says, is to turn around and also want to love Him back and make Him happy and ask Him, what is your purpose? What is your will? What is important to you? I want to make you happy the way you have made me happy. And that's what happened when we look at the story of in Luke 17, as I round up now, the story of the leper. The one leper that came back. Bible says, with a loud voice, he turned around. So he was healed. Loud voice, he turned around and came back and glorified God. And gave thanks. And Jesus said, well, there are not 10 that were cleansed. The 10 that were cleansed took it for granted. The 10 that were cleansed, the remaining 9, I beg your pardon, that were cleansed, felt that is the way, just going along the way to the priest that gave us our blessing. But the Samaritan recognized that, sir, Eshegon, I have to come back and say thank you. Brethren, gratitude is important to God and to man. And you know, our hearts, God wants our hearts to turn to Himself. And there's only one thing that can do it as we close. Look at Malachi chapter 4, verse 4 to 6. Malachi 4, 4 to 6. It says, remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Next verse. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and the dreadful day of the Lord. Verse 6. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come to smite the earth with a curse. What is God saying here? Elijah the prophet will put you in remembrance of what Moses said. He will amplify it. He's talking about the word. Anointed word. You can see where we can't escape this word. You know, that's anointed word. If you put it in your heart, it will turn your heart from yourself back onto your fathers. Father God and your spiritual fathers. And then your natural parents. You begin to honor them. You begin to respect them. And then the Bible, now the promise now comes to pass. The Bible says, it will be well with you. And you will live long on the earth. That is the will of God for us, brethren.
But it's going to happen through the word of God and through prayer. Let us pray. Let's bow our heads and talk to God. Let's talk to God and repent of our... It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's not the big things. So you may say, I don't steal. Yeah, you may not steal money, but are you stealing time? Do you arrive late? If you're an employer of labor, do you look out for your staff? How you can improve their lives? How you can encourage them? Remember the inheritance. The inheritance. That's what we're working for. Both employer and employee. The reward of the inheritance. So begin to think like God. And allow the word of God to dwell in richly in all wisdom. So it would turn our hearts. So we will live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So when he appears, we will appear with him. So repent. Receive mercy and grace. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that brought us through. Your diligence, your commitment to his word, to prayer, to obedience to men in authority. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that you sent to me this morning to remind me
of your purpose that I work and I serve men. You want me to obtain the reward of my inheritance in Christ Jesus. I desire your word to dwell richly in me. Help me to read it, to study it, to meditate it more frequently and diligently, and so to be a doer of your word. Teach me, Lord, to pray earnestly and diligently with an attitude of gratitude, so your grace that is bringing glory upon the earth in my life will not be in vain, and that same grace will bring glory in this house. It will bring glory in our lives. It will bring glory in our midst and in our seed. And our love for you will grow with each passing day. Father, help me to be faithful and to be diligent so that I will not fall short of the inheritance. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Jaka kosenga reke koko bakekan repepepeke soboria rapa papakande jekelebebeso pekadavabaria rapa pega zakanoma rapa katobe jeka ko benebebesoa rabea bakalaya jekelebebeli koko deveberia rakakaka jekelebebeso baroka renedevea baronea rabakao selenea rodenebesto vantan bekelebebeton banke ka rapakata sekedeveberia randevea shekalevabasoa bekaleveberia randeveberi koko deveberia. In Jesus' name, amen.